Energy policy leaders from around the world are gathering in San Francisco today for a conference on climate change and clean energy. And one of the issues on the table is air conditioning and how to make it more efficient. That's because, according to a recent study from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, the world is set to install some 700 million new air conditioners by the year 2030 and 1.6 billion by 2050, most in developing countries with hot climates like India, Mexico, and Brazil, where populations and incomes are rising. Nihar Shah was the lead researcher on that study at Berkeley. He's also attending today's conference. He joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Nihar, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, why are we seeing, or why are we about to see, such a dramatic boom in air conditioning around the world?
Well, there's many reasons for it, but some of the most prominent are the fact that the world is warming, and also that there's trends of increasing urbanization and increasing income in some of the developing countries around the world. And so those drivers really are affecting the uptake of air conditioning. And if you look at trends recently from the mid-90s to about 2010, in urban China, the penetration of air conditioners went from about 5% to over 100%, which basically means that every person in urban China owns more than one air conditioner.
And when some people hear that, they'll say, great, humans are able to live more comfortably. On the other hand, what's the environmental impact of all those air conditioners?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly right. I think both are true. The fact that people are more well off and they're better off in terms of their comfort. But then there's also the environmental impact, as you mentioned, the fact that the emissions from the refrigerant of these air conditioners, as well as the emissions from the energy consumption due to the air conditioners, both actually add to the impacts that we see in terms of global warming. And then you also have impacts from peak load, which, you know, if all these air conditioners are on, or many of them are on at the same time, then you have impacts on the grid where you see increasing blackouts or brownouts. And so you have other stresses on the grid because of that as well.
And most of the air conditioners these days use hydrofluorocarbons as refrigerants. Is there a better alternative?
There are some alternatives that are being tested, and many of them have been found to be more energy efficient. They still need some more testing and development in the lab, but I think they're close to commercialization, and we should be seeing something fairly shortly in the next year or two.
How much more efficient have air conditioners gotten over the last several decades? I seem to remember that they used to use chlorofluorocarbons rather than hydrofluorocarbons, correct?
Yes, they did. There was a previous transition through the Montreal Protocol. And there's actually a debate ongoing about phasing out these high global warming potential refrigerants. And there's going to be, I think, about 100 billion tons of carbon emissions saved by 2050. That's the estimate. That's about half a degree of warming if there's a global phase down of these HFC refrigerants. In terms of efficiency improvement, these have improved over the last few years and driven largely by policies in countries like Japan and Korea, where the technology has really taken off. And so you have one would call the average air conditioner on the global market, and then there's the best available technology, which is about 50% more efficient.
But probably more expensive as well.
Yes, probably more expensive. And obviously, the more people buy those more efficient air conditioners, those prices could come down, more production and such.
It may not come off so well to some, though, to have the United States, which is filled with air conditioners, saying, uh-oh, now that all these developing countries are getting their air conditioners, now we've got to figure out an efficient solution for them. Do you think that there's going to have to be some subsidy coming from the richer countries of the world to poorer countries in order for them to be able to afford these more energy efficient and environmentally friendly air conditioners going forward?
Possibly. And I think that there's a precedent for that through the Montreal Protocol has historically, even the previous transition we referenced, the chlorofluorocarbons, there was, I guess, some amount of money that was transferred from countries that essentially had taken advantage of the CFCs or greater advantage to other countries that hadn't yet or were beginning to phase in the CFCs. So there's a precedent for that kind of subsidies, as you say.
So what do you think will come out of this conference in San Francisco?
Well, I think there's some discussion ongoing about exactly this, about trying to get some consensus around the table to try to get many countries to move simultaneously, both on their energy efficiency improvement policies and maybe put in a criterion for low GWP refrigerant, or to have them move their position on the HFC phase down and have efficiency improvement be a part of that as well. So both of those kinds of policies, I think, could help in this endeavor.
In the grand scheme of the things that we put into the atmosphere, how bad are air conditioners and the HFCs that they emit?
Well, HFCs are the fastest growing greenhouse gases as we speak. They're growing at about 10 to 15% per year. They're also pretty bad for the climate in terms of global warming potential. They're about 1,000 to 10,000 times worse than carbon dioxide in terms of the global warming potential over 100 years. And so they're really potent greenhouse gases as well. Now, the good side about it is the fact that they're short-lived climate pollutants, which basically means that their lifetime in the atmosphere is very, very short, and which means that if you put in a policy today, you'll see the impact very shortly. So if there's an agreement to phase out these HFCs, then it gives us some more breathing room to put in policies in place in the longer term as well.
That's Nihar Shah, researcher at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.